Numerous reports indicate that manufacturing has emerged as the favorite target of ransomware groups and hackers. In response, a new report from Industrial Media discusses the evolution of industrial cybersecurity, its current state, and the tactics hackers are using, including phishing schemes, malware, and ransomware attacks. It also details solutions and arming manufacturers with the knowledge and resources needed to win more fights on this highly complex and ultra-competitive battlefield. Download the industrial sector's new battlefield by going to manufacturing.net/cyber. Hi, I'm Jeff Ranke, Editorial Director of Manufacturing.net and Manufacturing Business Technology. Welcome to Security Breach. In addition to speaking with cybersecurity experts from around the world for this podcast, I've also been able to do a fair amount of reporting on our websites regarding several high-profile industrial attacks. Much of this information can be seen on a weekly basis by subscribing to our weekly OT Security Update newsletter. I also felt it could be interesting to present some of these articles via the Security Breach podcast in helping further the conversation around tactics and lessons learned. So sit back and watch or listen as I dive into some of the most notorious attacks to hit the industrial community over the last 6 months. The first hack I'd like to cover is one that I've referenced several times here on the podcast, the Unitronix PLC hack. There's perhaps no organization that better embodies the true spirit of a villain like the Hacktivist Group. Ripped from the pages of a graphic novel, these organizations are as altruistic in their motives as they are ruthless in getting results. Fueled by an unwavering belief in a cause that they know is right, these groups are bold, intelligent, and dangerous. One such case is a group that goes by the name of the Cyber Avengers. The Iran-affiliated group has been vehement in their anti-Israel stance, using social media to propagate a narrative that the social and economic issues of the region are the result of a corrupt and overzealous military action by Israel. The group first registered on the cybersecurity radar in September of 2023, taking credit for attacks against Israeli infrastructure and tech companies. These were all widely disputed. But in November of 2023, a municipal water authority in Pennsylvania revealed that they had been the victim of a Cyber Avengers attack that compromised OT assets by accessing the organization's programmable logic controllers. The attack was made possible by exploiting poor password protocols and unsecure internet connections. According to several reports, including the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, the Cyber Avengers utilized basic techniques to scan the internet, identify the devices made by Israel-based Unitronix, and then log in using default credentials that were never changed during implementation. In this instance, the group could have turned pumps on or off to control water supply or infiltrated key operational systems that impact water treatment. Fortunately, the utility in question was able to identify the attack quickly enough to shut the PLCs down and resort to manual operations until the hack was resolved. The only known damage was the Cyber Avengers leaving anti-Israel commentary on the control panel of several Unitronix customers. However, several other users, including a number of U.S. breweries, were forced to shut down operations until a solution was provided by Unitronix. Beyond water treatment, the company's PLCs are used in numerous industrial applications, including food and chemical processing. While the attack stemmed from a very specific geopolitical philosophy, the results were much further reaching and illustrate the dangers of such groups and the potential threat, however unintentional, that they present to the ICS. After all, if this group was able to figure out how to hack PLCs, what would prevent more notorious and well-organized ransomware groups from targeting these same systems and their affiliated systems with distributed denial of service or extortion campaigns? CISA has since issued guidelines for responding to the vulnerability that include changing all default passwords on PLCs and HMIs to a stronger password. Believe it or not, the agency felt compelled to state that the default password of 1111 should not be used. They also said that they were going to require multi-factor authentication for all remote access, including from the IT and external networks. They also recommended disconnecting the PLC from the open internet. If remote access is necessary, the control network can still access the PLC by implementing a firewall or VPN in front of the PLC. Unitronix also offers a secure cellular-based long-haul transport device that is secure to their cloud services. They also recommended using an allow list for IPs and back up the logic and configurations on any Unitronics PLCs to enable faster recovery. Finally, they said if possible, utilize a TCP port that is different than the default port and updating the PLCs and HMIs to the latest versions provided by Unitronics. In looking for greater depth on this particular situation, we were also able to sit down with Marty Edwards. He's the deputy CTO for OT and IoT at Tenable, a leading industrial cybersecurity solutions provider. When asked as to whether this PLC exploit was the result of intentional probing or maybe just a happy accident, he stated that routine cyber criminal activity involves searching the internet for connected devices and assessing whether the user has neglected to change the default password or is using a common weak password, like admin. While connectivity provides countless benefits in the digital age, it can also leave an organization exposed if not properly secured. Manufacturers and end users must layer defenses in place, like two robust multi-factor authentication programs, one to get into the enterprise network and another to get between corporate environments and sensitive OT networks. The second hack we're going to discuss involves a large player that those involved with industrial networking will immediately recognize. We're talking about Johnson Controls. This hack serves as a strong example of how a growing number of OT attacks can originate within IT systems or assets. Last September, Johnson Controls, a global manufacturer of facility and industrial control and security products, was the victim of a ransomware attack perpetrated by a hacker group known as the Dark Angels. The group apparently entered the company's network through a vulnerability in Johnson Controls' billing system and eventually wormed their way through and shut down several key sections of the company's IT infrastructure. The attack forced Johnson Controls to shut down several key customer-facing and cash flow management systems. Dark Angels is said to have stolen and encrypted over 27 terabytes of data and demanded a $51 million payment in exchange for deleting the stolen files and providing an encryption key. No proof of payment exists, but a quarterly SEC filing shows that the company is claiming $27 million in expenses related to response and recovery from the incident. Additionally, Johnson Controls reported $4 million in lost and deferred revenues from the attack and has stated that a significant portion of costs associated with the incident will be covered by insurance. The SEC filing also saw Johnson Controls stating that the company, or Johnson Controls, expects to incur additional expenses associated with the response to and remediation of the incident throughout fiscal 2024, most of which the company expects to incur in the first half of the year. These expenses include third-party expenditures, including IT recovery and forensic experts, and others performing professional services to investigate and remediate the incident, as well as incremental operating expenses incurred from the resulting disruption to the company's business operations. Again, that's all from Johnson Controls. The company has also expressed that although lingering effects of the attack lasted until the first quarter of 2024, it is confident that the attack has been contained and all data and system functionality has returned to normal. Fergal Lyons, who serves as a cybersecurity evangelist at Centripetal, offered some additional color on the situation, stating that to effectively thwart attacks, organizations must proactively intercept them at the point of ingress, relying on detection and response technologies primarily for isolated and uncommon scenarios. A robust patching program is indispensable for defense, as is fostering cyber awareness throughout the entire organization. Additionally, leveraging cutting-edge threat intelligence to bolster perimeter security solutions offers robust protections against evolving threats. He continued, "These hackers are highly organized, well-motivated, and fearless. Johnson Controls were not the first, and definitely won't be the last." And those words definitely were prophetic, as we'll see in just a bit. For right now, however, we're going to take a look at another familiar company and how they were forced to respond to a double extortion ransomware attack. In mid-January of 2024, the ransomware as a service group Cactus was able to infiltrate the networks of Schneider Electric's sustainability business division. The hackers reportedly stole 1.5 terabytes of data and began a double extortion campaign that included releasing 25 megabytes of sensitive data. Included in the release was individual passport information and other information related to customers of the global energy management and automation company. Cactus is one of the fastest growing ransomware as a service organizations, with claims to over 100 ransomware attacks within the last 12 months. Their area of expertise appears to be in exploiting corporate VPN connections to obtain access to networks. Once inside, the group deploys a malware strain that not only encrypts the victim's data, but does so in a manner that has proven extremely difficult to detect and is capable of evading numerous antivirus and network monitoring tools. So visibility is out the door here. Details on the amount of the ransomware being demanded or the company's response to it, they were not made public. However, Schneider did issue a response 12 days after the attack, stating that the company's teams had begun performing remediation steps immediately and that all systems will be up and running again by the end of the month. That's about 2 weeks after the attack initially took place. The company also noted that the sustainability division functions as a separate entity and runs on its own network infrastructure. This would mean that no other divisions of the company could have been impacted. So chalk one up for good segmentation strategies. Schneider Electric was also a victim, interestingly enough, of Klopp's attack on the MoveIt file transfer software that impacted nearly 3,000 companies in May of 2023. Many industry analysts speculate that attacks such as these are a combination of poor credential security and legacy multi-factor authentication strategies. To get a clearer picture of what might have happened and to glean some lessons learned from the attack, I sat down with Jess Parnell, the Chief Information Security Officer at Centripetal, and he stated that the sheer volume of threat intelligence requires a fundamentally new strategy for acquiring, processing, and applying it effectively. Parnell went on to say that after falling victim to the MoveIt attack, it should have been priority number one for Schneider Electric to reevaluate their cybersecurity posture. The traditional approach to threat intelligence is no longer sufficient, as evidenced by the frequent attacks on companies today. He concluded that intelligence-powered cybersecurity provides a proactive solution. Wrapping things up, let's break down and circle back to another attack from the previously mentioned Dark Angels group. In March, Nexperia, a leading manufacturer of silicon-based processors based in the Netherlands and a subsidiary of China-based Wingtech Technology, was the victim of a ransomware attack. The hack has been attributed to the ransomware-as-a-service group called Dark Angel, who is also known in some circles as the Dunghill Group. This latest exploit targeted the chipmaker's servers, encrypting over a terabyte of data that included semiconductor designs, production dashboards, research and development information, detailed employee data, and privileged information on an estimated 900 customers, including Huawei, SpaceX, and Apple. Nexperia was forced to shut down IT systems and launched an investigation to determine the full scope of the attack. Law enforcement was also notified. Dark Angel proceeded to release some of the files as proof of the attack and threatened to leak everything unless their ransom was paid. Nexperia operates semiconductor fabrication plants in Germany and the UK and produces a collection of other electronic components. According to Sean McNee, Vice President of Research and Data at Domain Tools, the Dark Angels were first appeared in early 2023. What's unclear is if the Dark Angels are a rebranding of the team who created Babook in 2021, or if they just acquired the same source code. Since then, the Dark Angels have created additional tooling to target a wider variety of platforms and industries. The original Babook ransomware is Microsoft Windows-based, whereas this new tooling contains Linux and VMware ESXi-focused payloads. This group seems to have been targeting energy, manufacturing, and automation control companies who have operations in and around the South China Sea. What sets Dark Angels apart is their threats to release the data to Chinese, Indian, or other competitors. While Dark Angels operates as an independent ransomware actor, their practices do suggest an alignment to China's Made in China 2025 initiative, as many of the industries targeted align to the key sectors, advantages, and goals laid out in MIC 2025. Additionally, KnowBefore's James McQuiggan noted that as long as organizations continue to pay the ransom, cyber criminals will continue these attacks. Access and understanding for deploying ransomware are getting easier, facilitated by ransomware as a service platforms that democratize the tools necessary for such attacks. In other words, the bad guys are sharing a lot of stuff and it's open source software. So that's going to wrap up a look at some of the more prominent attacks that I've investigated. More than piquing your interest, I sincerely hope that there are some takeaways for improving your defenses and ensuring your company is never a part of this type of case study. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. And to catch up on past episodes, you can go to manufacturing.net, IEN.com, or MBTMag.com. You can also check Security Breach out wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple, Amazon, and Overcast. And if you have a cybersecurity story or topic that you'd like to have us explore on Security Breach, you can reach me at jeff@IEN.com. I'm Jeff Franke, and this is Security Breach.